Life and Ball podcast. We give your game life. It's Friday. Got a live show here on Facebook. If you go on J-File Lab, you can watch the show live. Again, always posting on Spotify, Apple. And we're going to talk all things Michigan today on the show. Again, J-File Lab, if you want to watch this show live. We got some good topics and talking straight Michigan, all things Michigan today on the show. I have to get my little coffee in. Wait till a few more people get on, and hopefully we can have a constructive conversation about all things Michigan, whether that's related to COVID or that's related to, sports. Primarily talking about high school athletics, because I think it's been such a problem with our state. We've had so many shutdowns, and we have parents trying to figure this thing out every single day. They're trying to figure out what's the next step, and we don't know what to do. And I think that it's tough, especially from a former athlete like myself. How do we get to our goals and our dreams? We have aspirations. We want to play at the next level. It was one of the biggest things that I talked to with a lot of former athletes is how can we get our children recruited when, look, the NCAA already has opened up that dead period, or meaning they have pushed the dead period longer. So what happens is they're not looking at kids right now, or they're not having contact. They're not going to gyms to watch your kids. In the wonderful world we live in now, video is great. But I do think that coaches seeing someone live is always better. That's just my personal opinion. But of course, video is great. Our kids in this state haven't been able to play much. If they're not one of the top kids, they're just going to be left out typically. If you're a kid like myself, who was getting looked at by primarily Division II, Division III, NAIA, and then a few D1s were like, we're interested. I would have needed to be seen all the time by D1s, like every day, for them to finally say, yes, you're ready, when I was in high school. So now you have these kids who, were like me, or a lesser level, or fighting to get to a higher level. They're not getting looked at. And now we're behind, and it's February, mid-February, and we have this new stuff where the kids are wearing masks, and they're down a little too much, or they're not where they should be. And now we want to write articles about it. We want to write articles about it in the state. We think that that's productive. We think that's going to help COVID, problems get better. And it is not. And I won't name sources and who wrote these articles. And I think they took it down because it was so ridiculous. But when people talk about mask shaming, it goes both ways. It goes both ways. You should never shame someone for wearing a mask. And I don't think at this point you should shame someone if their mask is not perfect. I mean, look, we have enough problems as it is with this thing. And I just can't believe that we're at this point, that we have articles written about kids not wearing their mask properly in a sporting event. And if someone watches this, they may have more information than me, because I don't like to get too far into this. From what I've heard, if kids, they don't have to wear the mask, they have to get tested for it. That's what I thought was the deal in Michigan. If anybody has that information, let me know. Because I thought that if that's the way you want to attack this thing, that's fine. But it's just like we've done things in this state all year. It's back and forth. We're not on the straight path of what we really want. If they're going to have to wear the mask, I guess they're going to have to wear the mask. But don't sit here and say, well, that one kid was playing the game, his mask went down, and he should get a technical foul, or he shouldn't be able to play. I mean, this is getting out of hand. This is absolutely getting out of hand. You're either going to play or you're not. You're either going to let this thing ride out, we're going to get through this thing, or you're not. And that's the problem I've had in this state is, when we first started this thing, and I'm not knocking anybody that's higher up in government. I'm not knocking anyone, period. We're just trying to get through this thing, okay? The first initial thought from our state when COVID first came out was we weren't going to shut down. That was the number one stance. And people so quickly forget that. The number one stance from our government, governor, everyone involved at the higher up was, we are not going to shut down small business. I mean, you guys can go back and maybe it's been deleted because they like to do that. But I'm telling you, that was the stance here. Where Ohio was like, whoa, we have to stop this thing. We're gonna shut down. Where us in Michigan said, "Well, we're gonna keep the small businesses rolling, and our goal is not to shut down the economy. We want people to thrive here still during this pandemic." That was the stance that our state had. We were like that, and we went the complete opposite. You know, I've had a lot of people that are, you know, motivational to me in my life, or inspirational, or good mentorship I've had in my life. And most of those good mentors say the same thing. You never want to be too hot and too cold. You want to be in the middle, and you want to keep it, you know, a straight line, straight, you know where you're going to go. You're not going to get too excited. You're not going to get too emotional. You're not going to get too down. You want to be in the middle. This state has been so hot and cold where we completely shut down while everyone else is starting to reopen, and then we reopen, and then we shut down again. The back and forth is what's killing our state. And I'm not a politician, and I'm not a health expert, so I'm not going to go into scientific stuff today. That's not where I am, and I have no right to go that way because I haven't earned that right. That's just how I feel. I've earned the right to talk about sports. I've earned the right as a former athlete playing collegially and professionally to talk about sports. I won't talk about, you know, straight politics. I don't belong in that category, but I will say this, common sense is where I belong in, and I think that it's been highly lacking in this state, and I think it's been crushing us in this state. And, you know, the University of Michigan shut down for, 2 weeks because other athletic programs had cases, so they shut the basketball program down. And then, you know, we're down, 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks, maybe it was 3 weeks. I see Derek is a huge Michigan fan watching. He could probably have the answer. I think it was 21 days, 23 days. We're shut down, the University of Michigan basketball, who's just had an absolutely phenomenal season. So they're shut down, even though they're kind of in their own little bubble, I think. And, you know, what's the next thing we do? Like, we have to live through this thing. We have to. Like, we all know it's there, but what are we going to do? Someone that lives down the road 15 minutes from us gets COVID, so I have to not do anything? And that's basically what Michigan basketball did, where they're not even around those other athletes. Their life is very simple. They go back to their apartment or dorm. They go to the basketball facility. It's sanitized, cleans, whatever. They're wearing their mask when they're not playing. You know, they're doing their part. Someone in another department completely gets COVID, so they shut down the basketball program. That's the way we've handled everything in Michigan, where we open, we close. We open, we close. And I think it's absolutely draining from not only mental health, but I don't know if it makes sense. It just, you're either there, you're either open or you're closed. There's no going back here. And the little pauses I do get with college basketball, pro sports, we're trying to get through this thing. You're going to have some cancellation of games. But if it has nothing to do with your program, nothing to do with your league, I don't get it. I just don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. It was. This isn't even a personal feeling just because I root for Michigan. This was like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, their program had nothing to do with the cases. If their school does, they're not attending classes together. Well, I'm confused. If anyone has the good answer for that reason, please tell me. You know, I mean, I'm an essential worker. It's tough. It's really tough in this state. It gets cold. You know, this is cold flu season. We get a lot of weather issues that make sickness more prevalent. It happens. I mean, I swear this time of year, the allergies come in. It's bad. It's horrible. I don't feel good. A lot of us feel that way in this state. These 4 or 5 months of bad weather can be mentally draining. Dealing with COVID as well, it doesn't make it any easier for all of us. But I just don't understand, you know, shutting down if people in certain sectors are getting more sickness. I just don't think that that's the right thing to do. I mean, if it's directly involved with your business, your team, it's in your department, yeah, you got to find a way to shut down. But it's confusing. If any, you know, you guys can chime in with this, but I'm confused half the time. We're either shut down or we're not. We're either open or we're closed. That's how I feel about it. That's my opinion on all this. We'll probably get back if somebody wants to comment on that. I don't like to get too deep into the COVID stuff because, I don't think it's, we all have a right to our opinion, but it's just not something I'm well versed in. And I'm not a scientist, a health person. I'm a sports guy. Let's talk Michigan basketball, though. Michigan basketball again wins last night. I crashed early, fell asleep, and rewatched it and watched highlights and rewatched the game. They didn't play all that well at spurts. I think they had 5-6 minutes without a basket, a field goal made at one point. Derek's still watching. He's a big Michigan fan. He probably could remind us on that. But I think that's what it was, 5 or 6 minutes they didn't score a field goal. But that's going to happen with this pause. This pause is basically you're going to have some bad lapses of basketball. Against Wisconsin last week, they played really bad the first half at times, but they played much better than I thought. I thought they would come in against Wisconsin and look god-awful. I mean, you're off 3 weeks, and you come in and you play on the road at Wisconsin, fans or no fans, tough, tough game. And they played outstanding in the second half, pretty much playing only seven guys. Brandon Johns came in last night and played much better. You'd like to see 8-9 guys stepping up. You know, you'd like to see Terrence Williams come in and give some minutes. They did give him spot minutes last night. I thought that was really good. We need that, where, you know, guys are going to maybe get in foul trouble. You go to this tournament run, and guys might not play their best. So a guy like Terrence Williams and Brandon Johns, who's been around long enough now, he needs to come in and give great minutes. So I think if that could be something they continue to do, where let's say there's some foul trouble situations or guys are just not playing well, Terrence Williams can come in and give great minutes. He can rebound. He can maybe hit an open shot. That's something that's, I think, key moving forward. I've mentioned this on Trouble with the Snap podcast with Tyler all the time. If I don't think Michigan can only win with seven. They can't win the whole thing. I think they can win a lot of games with that core seven because they're just so good and they play so well together. But you'd like to see it get to 8 or 9 where, again, a guy like Brandon Johns can play to his full capability. And a young kid like Terrence Williams, who can guard multiple positions because of his size, that would be great to have. It would be great to see that. So I think you know, that's something to look forward to the next few weeks heading into Big Ten tournament play and then March Madness. Will Brandon Johns come in and play a little better? Will Terrence Williams still get some spot minutes? I think Juwan has to do that, but I'm definitely not going to argue with a guy or go against what he's doing when they're 15-1 right now. Big game Sunday, 2 p.m. They play Ohio State. I guess I'll say their full name, Ohio State versus Michigan, Sunday, 2 p.m. in Columbus. That's going to be an absolute huge game. And Ohio State is rolling right now. 7 straight wins, playing very well. They probably got caught maybe looking ahead as they were playing at Penn State. But I think in this conference, there's no looking ahead. I think that Penn State's still a good basketball team. They're still aggressive. They're talented in some ways. I think they just played Ohio State pretty tough, and in this conference, that's going to happen all the time. I mean, Nebraska has had Illinois down, and they're the worst team in the league. They had an opportunity to beat Michigan State the other night, and they played them tough for the most part. They played Michigan tough at home at times earlier in the season. They've played some good teams tough. They just can't get it done. This conference, I don't think there's any looking ahead. I think Penn State just played well last night. Ohio State didn't necessarily play bad. But Penn State at home played well. Big one Sunday, though. Who thinks the officials are going to be catered a little bit to those red guys Sunday? I definitely do. I think it's going to be a very tough game to get over officiating. And against a really good team, Ohio State is very good. Fast, physical, ton of experience. Much like Michigan. Let's stay on Michigan, though. The thing I love about this team, I watch them, is they enjoy each other. I mean, when you play on good basketball teams, you remember it. And I've played on some really good ones. And the ones that were really good, there was a chemistry there. There was an enjoyment playing together. You know, you shared the ball. You got excited for your teammates. When they did something good, you know, you were hyped about it. This Michigan basketball team has all of that. Yeah, they like to make the extra pass. They love to pump each other up, and it's really fun to watch. You know, even if you're not a fan of the school, they're a fun team to watch. I mean, they do little things very, very well. They're a good passing team, good screening team. You know, you don't see them get called for many illegal screens. Down the road in East Lansing, it's an illegal screen every time almost. There's little things that Michigan does that Michigan State typically does. And that's the difference this year. And I know COVID, you know, people want to say it's COVID. It doesn't matter. It does matter. It doesn't matter when your team's bad. I've learned that during COVID. Anytime there's a bad season from a team and the fan base, it doesn't matter because it's COVID. But it matters to the teams that are winning, right? Michigan fans are super excited and they want, you know, they're thinking about, we're 15-1. That's all that matters. But this team is a lot of fun to watch. They love playing together. They don't care who gets the credit. Those are the best teams. The best teams are the teams that care strictly about wins, not about who's getting the points. And that bench is just outstanding. I mean, they are into it. They're clapping. They're pushing their teammates forward. And I absolutely love it. I love watching it. And even though I miss the fans a lot, I mean, I really miss the crowds being exciting and the maze rage and all that stuff. I really, really like hearing that bench talking about, you know, the defense chant, lock up, clap, clap. They keep doing it over and over, and I really enjoy it. And you know, coming from a guy who, look, I've been a starter and I've been a bench guy. At Western Michigan, I came off the bench all my freshman year, and I was hyped for those guys because we were so good. You know, we were 26-5. And I was one of those guys that was on the bench, running onto the court, you know, high-fiving someone, chest bumping someone. I mean, that was what it was. And you were hyped for your teammates. This Michigan team is exactly like that and more. They are more excited for their teammates than they are for themselves sometimes. That's why they're so good. And Juwan, I think, has been able to bring that attitude. He's been able to bring a fantastic attitude, a cohesiveness within the unit. I think the assistant coaching staff doesn't get enough credit. You know, I think Saadi Washington, who's been around for a while now, is from this state, does a great job. Howard Isley, from this state, does a fantastic job. And you know, you get Phil Martelli, who is, you know, the godfather, has been coaching forever. And, you know, this is a great staff. But what you don't realize is you got someone like Jay Smith, who's behind the bench, you know, technically, because of the way they have set up, it's kind of weird. But Jay Smith's a guy that's been around forever from this state who is on that staff now. You know, a guy like Chris Hunter that played at Michigan. People that are associated with this basketball program for Michigan were there. They've been there. They love it. They're from this state or they played there. And you know, but the one guy that hasn't really, that's a part of it, Phil Martelli, is a head coach for 30-plus years. So the one guy that's not a Michigan guy is that guy. I mean, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with this staff, and you can't go wrong with the way it's set up. And I think the culture of this Michigan basketball program is only going to grow. Is only going to grow. And I like it. And at times, I love it. Because not only are they fantastic this year, the next year, the group of young kids coming in is going to be fantastic. But I want to say one thing and end on this with Michigan basketball, because again, 2 p.m. Sunday, tune in, it's going to be awesome. Big time game against their rival, the Buckeyes. Getting those two kids, Shondre Brown and you know, Mike Smith, was just huge. I mean, I don't think people realize just how good Smith has been at point guard. His numbers are very, you know, they're not going to wow you. 7.5 points per game, 5 assists. The way he moves the ball and hits timely shots, though, and he can defend. And I've said this, look, and this is not a knock on, you know, Xavier Simpson. He was great. He did some great things. He was fantastic defensively, made plays offensively, ran the show. I think that this team wouldn't be as good with him as it is with Mike Smith. And I don't know who's better necessarily individually, but Mike Smith, kid from Chicago, comes in, grad transfer, was an absolute star in the Ivy League, star, and just dominated and averaged 20 plus points per game when he was in that league. Comes in, says, you know what, don't need to do that here. We got other guys. We got Livers. We got Wagner. We got a young kid like Dickinson. We got Brown off the bench who can shoot it. We got Brooks. I'm just going to dish. I'm going to push the ball. I'm going to get everybody their shots. And he is leading this team, and you got to have a point guard like that. Michigan State, complete struggle bus. They don't have a point guard. They don't have a guy that can do that. They don't have a guy that can lead and run the show, where Michigan has a kid like Mike Smith who's just, he's been fantastic. And it's never about the numbers. It's about the wins. That's all that matters. You know, if he's averaging 15-8, but You know, they're winning half their games. Who cares, right? It doesn't matter. No one cares. And he'll come in and hit big shots. He'll get to the rim and do his, you know, quick little finishes. He'll come off ball screens, and he's a better mid-range shooter than Simpson was. He's a better three-point shooter than Simpson was. And I really love Simpson. I mean, he was one of my guys. But this kid is better for this program. I think the kid coming in next year, Frankie Collins, is more dynamic than either one of those guys. He might be one of the most dynamic point guards they've ever had there as far as athleticism, speed, explosiveness. But he's not a great shooter yet, and he won't make timely shots unless he improves his shooting. So when he comes in next year, look, I'm not trying to get too far ahead, but he's not the same type of player as Smith is, who's a veteran, leads it, runs the show, gets guys the ball. They love playing with him. It changes everything for your program. And what about Brown? Now he has 1,000 career points, comes from Georgia Tech, Florida kid, comes to cold Michigan, and comes in and hits timely threes. He locks up the point guards. He'll play on the wing and pressure the ball when it's there. He can rebound. He can offensive rebound. He's had a couple big putback dunks. Those two pickups by Juwan Howard have 100% made the difference. Livers has been great. Wagner's been great. Getting a guy like Hunter Dickinson to come, huge, big time. But if you don't get those two grad transfers, and Smith and Brown, this season is not the same. Let's see. Raul, thank you for messing, Raul. How do you feel they match up against the Wildcats? I know it's kind of an off-the-wall question, but just curious what your thoughts are. That's a great question, Raul. Arizona, look, they're playing good basketball right now, by the way. I don't follow them as much as the Big Ten. I'm more of a Big Ten guy, but they're very athletic. I think anybody that has watched them over the years will know like how difficult it is to play against Arizona. And how do I think Michigan matches up with them? Great, because I think they probably this year do match up against everybody. Probably not with Baylor or Gonzaga. Those two teams are just so much better than everybody else, in my opinion. But I think they would match up well against Arizona, but no one is really talking about Arizona, Raul. So, you know, I will, and I've lived in the West Coast. That style is a lot different. It's a lot different style of play where, that Pac-12 is we're going to run and gun, we're going to play fast, we're going to pass, kick, shoot, and then a lot of talent and athleticism, whereas the Big Ten, you know, it's that rough, tough, physical, we're going to move your body with our body style. We've noticed that our Big Ten teams struggle against that sometimes, against playing against, you know, more of the fast, athletic teams. You know, we've seen Michigan State some years ago. You know, they lose to Middle Tennessee State. Why? You know, Middle Tennessee State's coming in, flying around, and they're playing fast, and there's quick decisions, and they're just lighting you up, and they killed State. So Arizona would play that type of style, but they're still big. Their size would maybe cause a little bit of problem for Michigan, but Michigan's just playing so well. So that was a great question, Raul. Thank you for that. I love lived out on the West Coast a lot, so always like watching a little bit of the games there. Sadly, you're going to hate this if you're still watching, Raul. I actually, my uncle was a professor at Arizona State, so go Sun Devils. I know that's probably hurt. You know, hurts you to your heart to hear that. But lived in Arizona, love it there. It's much warmer than here. But yeah, once we get to the tournament, because that was such a good question, I want to touch on this. You get to the tournament, and I don't thank you. You get to the tournament, and you know it's tough, man. And yeah. So I got a friend commenting now as I'm sitting here, as I was talking about how I like Arizona State more than Arizona. Rivalries everywhere. You know, that's like Michigan State, Michigan, right? Again, we're live here on the Labcast on the Facebook. We'll try to keep this going a little more. Waving in a few more of you guys. Thanks for everybody that's tuning in. Whenever you have a comment, it really means a lot. It keeps the conversation going, and it's a lot of fun. We try to keep the Michigan stuff going as much as possible as far as hometown teams. And here we go. So we'll take a little break here on the cast. Drinking some coffee. We're waking up, getting the day started, and we'll talk here in a minute. So if you guys are tuning in now, feel free to comment, share. We talked about the COVID stuff in our state earlier, and it's been tough. I know it's been the open up, shut down, very difficult. You know what? I lived in California, you know, before, and in California, they've been kind of in this situation. They're in the same boat, shutting down a lot. Small businesses completely shut down. You know, I lived in San Diego. So San Diego, if you're a restaurant owner, you know, your cost of your lease or whatever it is so high. So when they're shut down, I mean, a lot of permanent closing. And I know that we're dealing with that in Michigan. So we're going to talk sports here in a minute. Waved a few more of you guys. Thanks for watching this. And then we'll end here soon. And if anyone wants to comment about what I talked about earlier with COVID and their thoughts on this open up, shut down situation, feel free. I'll wave a few more of you guys that tuned in. Okay, back on live. Labcast, thanks again. You can listen. Go to Spotify, Life and Ball Podcast, and you can feel free to share, like, comment, give me your feedback. We've had some really good shows on there. We've had some former athletes and a lot of solo stuff, though, just trying to talk and keep the conversation going. Give your game life, Labcast. All right, Detroit, I'm going to end on the Pistons today. This has been all over mainstream media. Obviously, Blake Griffin wants out. Shocker, huh? Yeah, like we didn't know that was going to happen. The guy was playing for the Clippers. He's in L.A. He comes to beautiful Detroit. I mean, come on. This is the problem all the time. People come here, and it's basically just a pit stop, and they want to get the hell out of here and go somewhere else. The Blake Griffin thing I thought was a disaster. I thought it was a terrible pickup from day one. I think the things that they're doing now with the young kids, I think the moves that Troy Weaver made in the offseason were great. I think you got to get younger. You got young, hungry kids. They might actually like to play here. Most of the time, people don't like to play in Detroit, period, unless it's the Red Wings because they have enough tradition. I think the Blake Griffin thing is a disaster, 100%, though. I think it's going to kill us, but I do like the young kids we have. If anybody wants any opinion on the Detroit Pistons, that'd be great. Oh, there's nobody. No one seems to care, though, and that's the hard part. Look, I think what they've done, though, that's fantastic is, again, they're playing the young kids. They realize, look, and guys like Jeremy Grant, he's having an amazing season. I know there's not a lot of people that care about the Detroit Pistons or care to talk about them. Well, please tune in sometimes if you can, because they got all these crazy cable deals now, which, you know, the regional Fox Sports things. Anyway, that'd be for that topic and conversation be for a whole nother day. But Jeremy Grant's having an unbelievable season. Comes from, you know, over from Denver. He was a big piece to that team, which is a team and organization that continues to get better. Jeremy Grant's been huge. I love the young kids. Isaiah Stewart, really good, plays hard, physical, still learning how to play. The kid's young. You know, he only played 1 year in college. Sadiq Bey has had some big games. He's a guy we draft. So these are two guys you draft that play well. You get a trade like Jeremy Grant. He does well. So they get rid of Derrick Rose, which I think in the long run you have to do. This guy's getting older. The Blake Griffin deal, though, with all the money that he's going to be owed, is a crusher. Absolute crusher, because I think there's a lot of guys in this league right now, in the NBA, that are all pretty similar. You know, you got your top guys in the NBA, your James Harden, LeBron, KD, Damian Lillard, Steph, Giannis, you know, your all-star guys, they're separating. You know, they're better than everybody else. Everyone else besides those top guys is about the same. And you can win a lot of basketball games if you get the right pieces in the NBA. I mean, you look at a guy like Duncan Robinson, who plays from here, right? He's from Michigan, you know, or playing at the University of Michigan. I know he's from Mass, but you get my point. This guy plays at U of M. Wasn't even a starter at U of M sometimes. He's a great piece. They bring him into Miami, and last year it worked, and he starts hitting big shots. He becomes a starter, and they're in the NBA Finals. The Detroit Pistons got to continue to find little pieces like Jeremy Grant. That's a great pickup to me. I liked that pickup from day one. I thought he is just as good as a lot of off guards or wing players that aren't your stars. Boom, you get them. They probably, you know, they didn't get them for, you know, they're not spending a ton of money on them, which people said that, oh, they're spending too much on them. No, this guy's a really good player. This guy is the type of role player like a Duncan Robinson, not the shooter, but the same type of guy where he can come in and start. He just needs one or two other big time stars to come in And he's huge. I mean, he was great in Denver. Great. Huge pickup. You know, he's playing with Jamal Murray and Jokic. He was a huge piece, though. He's not playing with that now, but look how good he's playing. He's having big-time scoring outputs. He had 43 the other night. Jeremy Grant had 43 the other night. I don't care who you're playing against or what it is. When you're in the NBA, you score 43 points. You're a player. Absolute player. They have got to figure out what in the world do we do with Blake Griffin. How can we get someone for him somehow? And I don't think it's there. And that's what's going to crush him, is because Blake Griffin was not used correctly. And we did this, by the way. The Pistons did this to themselves. They brought him in. He had some good moments. They pushed him too much to get to the playoffs. Remember, they got to the playoffs a few years ago. Remember, they were playing against the Bucks. He was playing on one leg. He's pushing. You know they're not going to beat the Bucks. And they didn't use him right at the end of the season, and they rushed him to try to just make the playoffs. And look, I want to make the playoffs. I want to get there. But they didn't use him right. He should have never been here anyway. And they pushed him, and we overpaid him. Okay, they got rid of Drummond, which was good because they overpaid him also. And Drummond's not a bad player, but my point is he's overpaid. Blake Griffin, overpaid. He's owed, I believe, if he leaves, I think they said $54 million. I mean, wow. This is a guy that not everybody's going to freak out about as a big piece. You know, someone said, well, the Lakers should pick him up. I don't think the Lakers want him. Why would they want him? Why would the Lakers want Blake Griffin when, just think about this, you have Montrezl Harrell already, who is maybe probably more athletic than Blake Griffin now because of the injuries Blake's had. Griffin's a good outside shooter, but you got another, you know, enough guys that can shoot the basketball that are bigger players on that team, or wing players. I mean, you got Kuzma, you got Caruso, they all can hit shots when they're open. Caldwell Pope can hit shots when he's open. The whole Blake to the Lakers makes no sense. And I just don't know what team is going to go, whoa, that's the piece that we need. This Blake Griffin in 2021 is the piece that can push us over the top. This isn't going to work for Detroit at all. I don't see anybody wanting it. And you're basically sitting here going, we're hamstrung by this money. What's it going to take to pay him to get rid of him? And what are we going to get in return? They're going to get nothing. They're going to get nothing in return. Nobody's going to want to get rid of their players for this guy. Not a player that's going to go make you go, oh, wow, Detroit got this for Blake. Ooh, we might really be able to move forward. No, this is a complete rebuild and a complete disaster because of that contract that's hanging over our heads with Blake Griffin. Complete disaster. And the problem with Detroit is, you know, you got to draft really, really good again. And when I'm looking at the players going into next year, I'm trying to sit here and think of a guy that is playing and me say, oh, man, I can't wait till we get that guy in the draft. Like, that's going to make us great, right? Because, you know, typically what, that's a, you know, your number one draft pick, right? Number two or three, you're thinking, wow, this is 2 years in a row we drafted well. This guy, though, is going to be the guy that really puts us over the top. There is not a guy in college basketball right now that does that for Detroit. Not one. And if you guys think there is, name one. I can't think of one player in college basketball today that you go, oh, wow, absolutely. If Detroit now, after the draft picks they had from last year, and you know, Killian Hayes, who's been injured, obviously that hurts, but Stewart, you know, Sadiq Bey, and then this year in the draft, you know, we had a horrible season. We lost all these games, but we get this guy in the draft. There's not a guy, to me, that makes me go, oh, yeah, that guy kind of pushes us over the top. We're super young, and this core can stay together. I think that's what hurts him, and I think that's what makes it even worse with the Blake deal, because we can't get a guy for him, probably, that could make a difference as well. Huge problem for Detroit right now, and I think this is not a one-year rebuild. This is a three-year rebuild, and if you're a Detroit Pistons fan, I love to root for the Pistons because they're hometown. You got a ways to go. I mean, this is going to be, you know, they've been bad for a while now. This is going to be a few years of bad basketball, and meaning they're not really, they're kind of fun to watch now because these young kids play their butts off. They just can't ever win, but if you're a fan and your only thing is I want to win and I want my team to get to the playoffs, Detroit's not going to give you much fun. I mean, this is a bad, bad organization right now as far as winning games. As far as the future, though, they are moving in the right direction, but they got to somehow make some magic happen with this Blake Griffin deal. And what can we get for him? And right now, I can't see them getting anything for him. But if anybody has an opinion on who's out there right now that the Pistons can draft next year that could even more so make a difference, let me know, because I'm not seeing it right now in college basketball. You know, this is a great example. Love Luka Garza. He's one of my favorite players in college basketball right now. Again, I watch the Big Ten all the time. So I'm going to watch Iowa. And then Luka Garza is in contention for player of the year, right? So Luka Garza's in this conversation. Let me now ask yourself this question. Is Luka Garza a guy, let's say the Pistons could draft somehow, which he's not that high up on the board anyway, but let's just say, here's arguably a player of the year in college basketball. Does he make Detroit better? Like, oh, wow, we drafted him. We're going to be even better next year. I mean, the answer is no. I mean, it's a simple answer. I just can't think of a guy right now in college basketball that does that. I can't think of a foreign guy coming that does that either. Whereas I think, you know, they were talking about who do we draft this year that would make a huge difference. They've needed a point guard. And I thought the Killian Hayes move, I'll be the first to admit, I thought it was good. I thought it was a good draft, and I thought that it's what we need, and I think he will turn out to be good. The jury's still out on that. We don't know because he's been hurt. He hasn't been able to show us anything. That's painful for me because I wish I could see some things and watch him develop as a point guard and say, wow, in a couple years, this guy could be really good. If he's healthy, I think he's going to be good. I really do. I think with his size, his playmaking ability, I think he's going to be a good player. But it's a huge question mark right now, and it's 50-50 on that draft because we don't even know anything. But next year or this year coming up, I just don't know who a guy is that's like we have to get. Who is it? Somebody help me here. I thought about this all day yesterday when I wanted to talk Pistons. Is there another guy? Is there like an Edwards who's in Minnesota, like who's just so athletic and could just score and just, wow, at times just wow. Is there a LaMelo Ball who is just dynamic and he's fun and everyone wants to talk about him and he just brings guys together and, you know, he's an exciting player. I can't think of one guy. I can't think of one guy right now playing college basketball. And I just don't think this, you know, everyone talked about how last year's draft was bad. I think this year's is going to be worse. I think this year's is going to be way worse. I know some of the G League guys, you know, the kids out of high school, and everyone keeps talking about them. But, you know, I don't see anybody right now. Like, Jalen Green was, right, a big topic. People were talking about him a lot. Like, oh, man, this guy, you know, combo guard could be just really help an NBA organization. I watch him, and I'm like, you know, last year's group of players, there was a few that you could say, yeah, you know, LaMelo Ball, I wasn't even sold fully on, but he transforms an organization. I mean, he comes in and he plays great for Charlotte. He's exciting to watch. The fan base, I mean, listen to their announcer. If you guys ever want to watch something that's hilarious, you know, or listen to something that's hilarious, just listen to the Charlotte Hornets announcer. This dude gets so hype after every big play. And when LaMelo throws a no-look pass or something and they make a huge play, or Miles Bridges gets a lob pass from LaMelo and dunks it, the dude goes crazy. He goes bonkers. That team, the Charlotte Hornets, already, couple moves. Look at that. People want to rip Jordan all the time. Look at that move. He gets Gordon Hayward and he drafts LaMelo. Here we are. Where are we, Detroit? What can we possibly do that can get us to that point? I don't know. So if you guys watch this, you want to comment later, let me know, because I just don't think there's a player now that we can get, and I have no idea what the heck we're going to do with the Blake Griffin deal. So it makes it really depressing with the Pistons stuff. But hey, we're going to end here soon. Again, if you've listened to some of this, oh my goodness, oh, that's nice. Nice comment. Really? But anyway, thanks for tuning in. when you first watch this, again, Life and Ball podcast, go on Spotify. If you have it. It's on Apple as well. You can listen to all the shows. But I want your thoughts, if you watched the beginning of this, on the COVID stuff. We talked about COVID. Are we shutting down too much? Are we not shutting down enough? I see Coach Sayre tuned in. What's up, Coach? That's a great example. One of my great friends, Coach Sayre, that I played for. I want to end on this. This is a great point, since I think he's watching now. You know, you got to still live your life. And they were able to create like bubbles, right? Where you know where kids have gotten tested a lot. You know that they're negative, and then you got to be able to get into the gym and get ready to play basketball. There's no way you can play a sport like basketball and do nothing. It's just like the worst sport ever. You're running, you're jumping, your body's not ready for that. That's an injury waiting to happen. And he was able to create something that was super powerful. And, you know, where kids could still come in and do it safely and play basketball. So shout out to Coach Sayre again. I seen him in Grand Rapids. Love the guy. All of us basketball people got to do whatever it takes still to keep kids in that gym safely and play. If we're not doing that, or if we're not going to their courts or doing something, what are we doing? What are we doing for kids? Why are we involved with this sport? So, look, you know, the COVID thing's tough. I don't want to get into it too deep today anymore, but it's been very difficult for me. It's been difficult for all of us, so I'm praying for all of you. But hey, give me your feedback on that. If you watched the show at the beginning, you can hear a lot about what my thoughts are on this whole COVID situation in Michigan, because we've been one of the states that has been most shut down. Praying for small business owners that are trying to get back into the swing of things. And again, just praying for all of you. So thanks for listening. Again, Life of Ball podcast. We're done here for the day. We'll be back on probably the weekend. I'll probably be on live later. I have a basketball lesson, so if you guys want to tune in and give some thoughts on that, I would greatly appreciate it. And again, thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.
And we're going to talk all things Michigan today on the show. Again, J-File Lab, if you want to watch this show live. We got some good topics and talking straight Michigan, all things Michigan today. And we're going to talk all things Michigan today on the show.